From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, damaging storms in the southeast, Disney profits continue to slide, and a special panel looks at the issues facing our country. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Thursday of this week, I was privileged to be with the FRC team at our annual Orange County banquet in Southern California. And while we were there, Tony Perkins returned to the studio to anchor the program after his August break. A big thank you to his channel in Anaheim, California, for hosting us. We start today's show with a look at the impact Samaritan's Purse is having after the fires in Maui and the hurricane that swept the southeast. Here's Tony Perkins.
Edward, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Good seeing you, Tony.
So before we jump into what's happening there on the ground in Florida, give us, I know you've been over in Maui and in Hawaii. We were actually texting while you were over there. Give us the latest on that relief effort.
Yeah, I appreciate you asking. It's hard to watch. It's incredible destruction, so much loss, but also just difficulty right now getting anything done, decisions being made to try to help those that have been affected and the homeowner. It's been a challenge for humanitarian organizations even to do work there. We are sending additional support. Right now the plan is for our 757 to take off tomorrow morning with additional supplies and also enough supplies to build a volunteer camp. And this is where it looks like we're going to get approval to finally do sifting. And sifting's where we look for, maybe it's a ring or a brooch that was something handed down. But when there's a fire, there's a loss of hope because everything's gone. And some of our most beneficial and some of our biggest spiritual deployments is when we can do this sifting, because all hope is gone. And then when you find that one little ring, it's the first glimpse of something bigger, something that happened. And so our chaplains get to listen and talk to these homeowners, and we see so many salvations just through sifting. So we're excited about this opportunity, but it's been a challenge to respond there.
Edward, it's been amazing to watch you and Samaritan's Purse and your team over there in Hawaii. And we have had, of course, we've followed that a lot here on Washington Watch and have had some pastors. How is the body of Christ overall responding and working alongside Samaritan's Purse and just ministering and meeting the needs that are so enormously huge with those individuals there in Hawaii?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know what? The church is there. There's several churches in that community. And one of the pastors there at Calvary Westside there is someone that y'all know that you've helped out with some other legal challenges as well. As some of the liberal agenda has been trying to push back on him. But they are so bold, and they're loving their communities, and they're doing great things to serve those that have lost so much. The church there is energized and wants to help. And these are churches that have lost, many of their congregation have lost their homes and businesses. So they're in the middle of this fire and this destruction. But I saw so many churches that survived the fire. And they're ready to work. They've been helping with Samaritan's Purse, and there's so much joy in the midst of all this loss. But I'm so proud and thankful for the local church there. They are sharing the name of Jesus Christ and loving their neighbor every opportunity they get.
Yeah, I was actually trying to connect with Pastor Steve in the early hours after the disaster hit Maui when we had the communications difficulty, but I was so thrilled to see that you guys had, in fact, connected. Edward, let's transition now to Florida. I mean, there's no absence of disasters. We're seeing them, and again, so thankful for Samaritan's Purse. What are we seeing in the wake of this storm? It seems like it wasn't as bad as it could have been, still bad, but not as bad as it could have been.
Yeah, now this is the most destructive hurricane that's really hit that, as we talked about before, right there where the panhandle comes into the curve of Florida. And there's been a lot of flooding and wind damage there. Some of it's more rural areas, but these are historical fishing communities. So livelihoods have been completely destroyed and businesses and homes. And so with this flood and roof damage, our volunteers have responded. Right now we have two of our teams are responding in Pasco County and then Taylor County, Florida. And we'll work through the local churches there, and we'll help mud up homes and then re-tarp roofs that have been destroyed. But though people think this is a rural area, I mean, thousands have been affected, thousands of homes, and we're getting more and more reports. We are looking at other areas in Florida. We have looked at areas in Georgia and South Carolina as well, but the most damage is clearly there in Florida. And so we'll bring more teams in if needed and more equipment. But it's going to take a long time for these areas to recover.
And I have seen that time and time again in the disasters that I've worked alongside with Samaritan's Purse. We have 15 seconds left. How can folks find out more about how they can partner with and support the work you're doing?
First, pray. But if you'd like to volunteer, go to samaritanspurse.org and they'll show you how to sign up.
All right. We're going to encourage people to do just that. Edward, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, appreciate all that you and your dad and the team at Samaritan's Purse do.
Thank you, Tony. We love you, and thanks for all your ministry does.
Amen. Well, folks, I cannot tell you a better ministry to partner with when it comes to helping people on the ground than Samaritan's Purse. They are among the best, so check it out. All right, coming up, you've heard it, go woke, go broke. Well, Disney now is being sued for a little sleight of hand. Their investors, well, it's disenchantment for them. We're going to talk about that next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch right ahead.
In recent years, Christians have seen an accelerated assault on not just our core beliefs, but their very foundation. Now is the time to build on that foundation, strengthen our faith, and learn how to translate our beliefs into actions that engage the culture around us. That's the purpose behind this year's Pray Vote Stand Summit. Believe and engage. Pray Vote Stand Summit is a national gathering of spiritually active, governance-engaged conservatives, or SageCons. We'll hear from Christian leaders, worldview experts, government officials, and more. We'll discuss important issues like the sanctity of life, religious freedom, protecting students, strengthening families, praying for our nation, and how you can impact America's future from a biblical worldview. Together, we can believe and engage. Join us September 15th through 17th in Washington, D.C. for this pivotal event. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and here's my co-host.
Great to be with you. Jody Heiss here.
Jody Heiss. Been filling in for me for the month, doing a great job. Well, I'm back. Somewhat. I'm back. We're here in Southern California for FRC's 40th anniversary celebration here in Southern California. We're going to talk more about that. But first, speaking of Southern California, the Disney Company. I mean, they're like a stone's throw from us here at his channel in Anaheim. They have seen their stock plummet over the last 2 years. In fact, they've hit a 9-year low. They've lost over half of their market capitalization. And they continue to get hit with bad news. Where's the applause? And, you know, and this is being driven by consumers who are fed up with their woke policies that they are cramming down our throats. Well, last week, Disney was hit with another lawsuit. It was over an alleged cost-shifting scheme in its streaming division. Now, the suit claims that the company executives hid the expense and difficulty of maintaining subscriber growth as it suffered, quote-unquote, staggering costs to create content. Well, part of it is they lost 4 million subscribers because of their woke content. Well, joining us now to discuss this latest bad news for Disney is Paul Chesser, director of the Corporate Integrity Project for the National Legal and Policy Center. Paul, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us.
Good to be with you. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Well, thank you. Paul, we're going to jump right into this. What does this mean for Disney? Just another lawsuit, or is this a new wave of consumer activism, donor activism, who are fed up with the policies of Disney?
Well, there's probably a little bit of everything there. We've seen the signs of Disney's decline for a while now. They put a lot of stock under prior CEO Bob Chapek in building up the Disney Plus streaming channel. And at the beginning of COVID, early 2020, they rolled it out, and there was a lot of fanfare surrounding it, and subscribership rapidly grew up until the end of 2022, when they hit somewhere around 164 million, 165 million, Well, that was the peak. And ever since then, the last three quarters has been a decline. And now they're down to about 146 million subscribers to Disney Plus. And the subscriber numbers were not, you know, Wall Street was saying, oh, wow, look, subscriber numbers. But then they said, OK, but where's the profitability? And there was the profitability wasn't coming along with the subscribership. And so now you're seeing shareholders get a little upset and say, hey, you had said projected that there's going to be 240, 260 million subscribers by the end of 2024. And now they're going down. What's up with this? And so they're saying we've been misled. There's been a couple other shareholder lawsuits about this, about misleading information, which is a no-no under the SEC rules. So that's their gripe.
Well, Paul, you know, obviously, at least it's obvious to me and people I talk to, people care about their children. They care about the programming that their children watch. They care about this woke ideology being crammed down not only their throats, but that of their children when they should be watching an innocent Disney film, whatever it may be. And yet there's so much finger pointing when we have issues like this. As Disney is watching the decline of their market and their market share and their stocks and so forth, they seem to be doubling down that their woke ideology is what people want to hear and what they right. want to see. Are they not at all aware of what the American people want and expect out of Disney?
It's hard to peg Disney as to what they think because they're very insular. You know, we try to engage them as shareholders, and they're disrespectful. They don't answer our messages. We've had two shareholder proposals the last 2 years with them. Engagement has been nothing. You know, I think it's a battle between Florida and California politics at this point, and California is winning out. And it, as far as who's prevailing in the programming and in the theme parks and so forth, but you know, I think we're seeing with the decline of the share price and the value of the company that it's not working. And right now, the big attention has been paid to Bud Light's decline. And the mainstream business media is really noticing what's happened with Bud Light, with Target. For some reason, they're covering for Disney, and they're still covering for Disney. But I don't think they can hold out much longer with that. They love Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, and he's now returned. And he was supposed to be the returning hero to restore Disney's to its glory after Bob Chapek's supposed failures. But Bob, it's declined further under Bob Iger, and he's continued to validate the woke programming and, you know, these male greeters at the Bibbidi Bobbidi boutique at the theme parks and the regular Disney Channel, the linear subscribers. You know, that portion of Disney's business has declined as well. Pretty much every arm has declined. We're seeing declining attendance at the theme parks. Disney boasted that, well, you know, attendance was up a little bit, but that's only because in China, the theme parks were opened this year as opposed right. to last year under the zero COVID policy. So they're masking a lot of stuff too.
Well, I think it's a little pixie dust too.
Tinkerbell.
But Paul, great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to continue.
All right, thanks for having us.
You know, I think, Jody, this is probably an encouraging thing here. Are investors becoming more aggressive in using the courts to hold these woke corporations accountable?
Yeah, and this is serious. Yeah, Disney's in trouble. And hopefully not only they, but others.
That's what happens when you're goofy. It happens. All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we're going to be joined by an all-star panel. General Jerry Boykin and Ken Blackwell join us. Don't go away. We're back after this.
We live in a culture that has lost sight of what is true. Many, including Christians, are searching for answers to life's most important questions. With this in mind, Family Research Council's Center for Biblical Worldview has partnered with Summit Ministries to present Now We Live, a free 6-episode video series designed to encourage worldview discussions central to the Christian faith. Each episode offers practical instruction led by leading Christian thinkers. Access this series at frc.org/worldview.
We're in our 40th year, celebrating 40 years of defending and advancing faith, family, and freedom. In fact, we all, this all-star panel here, we got General Jerry Boykin, a three-star. Ken Blackwell, how many stars you got, Ken?
I'm between two of them.
All right. And then we have Congressman Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council, and we're here in Southern California for our annual Friends of FRC dinner, and of course, tonight special because it's the 40th anniversary. Also, guys, we've got coming up our Pray Vote Stand Summit September the 15th through the 17th at the Omnishorum in Washington, D.C. Jody, you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. Everybody needs to be there.
In fact, I think I can say this. I had a conversation earlier today with former President Trump, and he's going to be there. So we're going to have him. Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, is going to be there. Former Vice President Mike Pence is going to be there. I think we're going to have our Ohio friend, Vivek. Yeah. And we're waiting to hear confirmation from him. And a host of others are going to be there. The General, you're going to be there.
I am?
Yeah.
At my age, I can't remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
And you're going to be leading a panel discussion about the military.
I will, and I think this is a critical time for our military, and Americans need to know what's going on and need to be part of the solution.
You know what? I think that's a good place to start. I mentioned earlier at the top of the program about the two-year anniversary of the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Yeah. I just want to play a clip from the White House press secretary. This was from yesterday. Karine Jean-Pierre, and get you to respond to this. Clip six, please.
America is no longer there. Obviously, it is on a stronger footing, more capable to meet our security needs around the world because we are not fighting a ground war in Afghanistan.
So, General, America is on stronger footing after that disastrous, chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan.
I don't have to tell you, Tony, that she doesn't even believe what she said. I mean,
I don't think she knows.
This whole administration lives in a fantasy world when they come out with stuff like that. Look, it is time for them to man up. It's time for them to come clean with the American people about the decisions that were made and the decisions that were not made during this evacuation, because it is probably the most embarrassing and worst thing that I have seen in an administration in my life. And it grieves me to see what's going on there.
I mean, this week, some of the Gold Star parents on Capitol Hill for a roundtable discussion with the Foreign Affairs Committee, Congressman McCaul. Your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just tie into what the General is saying. And I don't think it's just that they're a bumbling clown car. I think some of this is intentional.
Yeah.
And that is what is disturbing. You know, if you would look at across a whole range of their agenda action items, it is to destroy our nation state, you know, our constitutional republic.
And if I could just real quickly add to that, I was, of course, in Congress at that time, and our office became heavily involved in trying to evacuate both American citizens and others. And at every step, it was our State Department that was in the way, this administration in the way. And when you talk about it being intentional, it's very difficult to think otherwise.
I had just come off of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. And so there were obviously a lot of people who had converted, had become Christians during the time that the America was there at Afghanistan. And those individuals were now going to be targeted by the Taliban. And so we were working. I mean, I was working with different contacts to try to get people out of the country. And you're absolutely right. It was our own government in many ways that were standing in the way. So I want to go to this intentionality because I want to go to another topic that continues to be an issue of discussion, and that is the border. And I want to play another clip of our dear friend at the White House, the press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre. This was, again, yesterday. She was talking about the border. Clip five.
Eric Adams, the New York mayor, is saying about these migrants in New York City, any plan that does not include stopping the flow at the border is a failed plan. So why aren't you guys stopping the flow at the border?
We are stopping the flow at the border.
Now, I must have missed something. You're a former mayor of Cincinnati, major city. You know that you just do not have this type of capacity in your city budgets to absorb hundreds of thousands of people coming into your city, relying on city services. You know, the Democratic mayor's now saying, you got to do something at the border. The press secretary saying, we've stopped the flow at the border. What world is she living in?
Look, it is as if she's gone through the looking glass, or she thinks we've gone through the looking glass, and they can just run anything by us. Again, I'll stay on the intentionality. These on their watch, there are 5 million aliens that have come into this country. You know, they are destroying the concept of citizenship. And Tony, you know, they believe in one world government, which means that they intentionally destroy our right. borders. They want a nation without borders, and they want voters without borders.
Yeah,
sovereignty is strong.
Yeah, I really do. I've been to all 9 sectors. There is nothing closed about our borders right now. It is wide open, and it's gotten worse in recent months. And for this is an outright lie. It is misinformation. The zenith of misinformation, if not outright lies.
I want to stay on this issue, Ken, that you bring up about intentionality. In general, I want to go to you on this, because you and I have talked about this before. When you look at what has happened to our military and the policies that have been put in place by this administration that is demoralizing our military, it is affecting the recruiting ability of our military.
And it's reducing their readiness to go to war.
Is it intentional?
Absolutely, it's intentional. And people don't understand, because Americans, most Americans, the overwhelming majority, believe we need a strong military that can defend this nation. But if you're a globalist, if you are a Marxist globalist, you are believing in this one world government that Ken talked about. And that it all comes together when you understand that side of it.
And so we want to have a military that is on par with Cuba.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah. Speaking of the military, I don't want to leave that issue for a moment, because this story out yesterday, the Washington Post reporting that Army officials yesterday have brought sexual assault charges against a military doctor in what some are describing as a sprawling case involving at least 23 victims. I'm not going to go into the details, but you can read the story. But my point is this. Why should we be shocked when everything about this administration and the military is your sexual identity, your gender, your sexual expression? And, you know, last year, almost 9,000 cases of sexual assault. Should we be surprised by that when everything we are focused on in our military is sex?
No, I mean, look. If you look at what the Congress has done, they've contributed to this problem. And I'll tell you how. At the same time, they've sexualized the training and everything else, and the time that's spent doing this, they've also then turned around and taken the authority away from the commanders in the field to deal with it. At one time, if this happened, the commander right. was responsible for the court-martial or whatever. That's not the case anymore.
Well, is it because of the sensitivity to political correctness? We don't want to, you know, because we allow perversion in the military now. What used to be court-martialable, or you get certainly get office hours drummed out of the military, now is actually protected behavior. And I'm talking specifically about homosexuality. That's now a protected behavior where it used to get you kicked out of the military.
That's right, and if you go back and look at the Uniform Code of Military Justice, you will see that homosexuality was punishable. Any kind of sexual activity that has been normalized was punishable by court-martial.
Eventually, there can be no moral standard, and that's what we're seeing right. is the erosion of all moral standards. Because, I mean, it's also, people don't understand the military is a different life.
Yeah.
You know, adultery is a crime. In the military. I mean, you can't do those things because it breaks down unit cohesion, yeah. trust between officers and their men. The military can't survive in this kind of an environment.
No, Tony, and I'll tell you, given this world situation with Russia, China, North Korea, and all the other entities that are threats to us, now is a time when we ought to be looking at how do we have the most ready, the most capable military that we have ever had, and we're doing just the opposite and going the other way because this administration does not care about the readiness of our military, and that's just a fact.
The readiness or the moral standards by right. which they operate. Tony, look, this is very clear. There is a collision course. We have a constitutional republic where God is at the center of our nation and our culture. They, in fact, have at the center of the administrative state.
Yeah.
And so everything that they do grows dependency on the state. They destroy the family to grow dependency on the
right.
state.
In many ways, the government takes on the, you know, Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians about the spirit of lawlessness and the rise of the Antichrist. Now, government is not the Antichrist, but I believe as anything sets itself in the place of God, it is advancing the spirit of the Antichrist. And I think once you get there, you have chaos. And because you break down moral order, and that's what government is doing.
And we'll come back to this because we don't have time today, but they're destroying the dollar as the reserve currency in the world. And they don't understand the impact that's going to have on working families.
You're right. Well, I mean, that's a good point, because just out here in California, I was looking at the price of gas because they have that reformulated fuel out here. And I'm thinking, how in the world do working class families make it out here when you're paying, you know, $5-6 a gallon for gas
right.
and you've got to drive everywhere out here? How do you do it? I mean, that they talk about championing the poor. And they're trampling on the poor with their love and embracing of the planet as if, you know, it's a religious conviction.
And this is the mecca of left-wing policy here. So if it happens here, this is what they'd like to see across the entire country.
Well, my all-star panel, we could go on all night, but unfortunately we can't. So thanks so much for joining us. And tonight we're going to have a great time at our 40th anniversary celebration. Guys, thanks for joining me.
Good to be with you.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkow, thanking you for being with us. Don't forget to join us for the Pre-Vote Stand Summit in Washington, D.C., September 15th through 17th. And I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.